Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Every 5 minutes, someone dies while waiting for a compatible donor heart, liver, or kidney. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists strive to engineer an animal with human-compatible organs, thereby saving millions of lives. But these ancestors are not the docile herd animals they envision. Instead, the project spawns something big, something evil, something hungry. Ancestor by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler is available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
After Asta, Lark, Ralph, and Sully met at the gas station, they all agreed to travel together to a common destination, a potentially untouched burrow. On approach, however, did they really see a corpse move? I guess you're about to find out. This is The Sprouting. Chapter 1, The Meeting of Souls, Part 2.
What do the four of you want to do?
You said one of the corpses was twitching.
Yeah. Yes.
Lark is going to take steps back, trying to get behind the tall dudes.
Like, you notice that Asta kind of immediately takes a step as he notices that you're coming back towards him. Like, yeah, he kind of instinctively, like, pulls out his gun and, like, takes half a step in front of you just to, like, begin to, like, shield you from whatever ahead. Because he notices that you're backing up. Like, okay, all right, well, I guess I'll step in.
From where Sully is standing, can he, like, do they just look like corpses or do they look like something?
Are you guys getting any closer?
You said it was already moving.
Yeah, you saw like a foot twitch, like a couple of times.
But it's just twitching.
Yeah, just a twitch. Like,
okay.
Sporadic movement.
Sorry, you ended the episode on, and then a foot twitch.
Related rigor mortis.
So I was assuming next episode was going to be zombies.
Plants vs. Zombies, start one.
If the foot's only twitching and there's no actual real movement or shuffling going on, then I think Sully with a raised shotgun is gonna, like, move to get a better angle at the bodies. But yep. Sully is not a dumb man. He looks around before he starts moving, making sure he doesn't step on or into something that would kill him.
Sure, take a spot hidden.
All right.
Yeah, any of you are welcome to do these checks. Since there's only three of you as main, you're all welcome to take any checks. If we end up having an expanded party, then it will only be one.
All right.
Can I write the success from last episode? Sorry, Aether.
No problem.
Absolutely not, okay. I'm afraid, Lark.
So I got a 28 and a 50, so that's a success. I just succeeded in a skill check. Do I mark it as progressable or whatever it's called?
Yes. So if you ever get any successes, you are supposed to be marking them for improvement, which we would do during the improvement phase. All right. So, Sully, with your spot hidden success, you begin to make your way up towards where the gates are, and you begin to spot that there are kind of six people that are laying hidden amongst all the stuff. The pathway is quite clear, and you focus in on the body that seems to have twitched. And there is definitely something different about them compared to the rest. The rest are clearly very obviously dead. They've been torn to pieces. You can see that, like, one of them is missing a leg. You can see that some of them have weapons that they are holding on to, but obviously was not successful. The body that you end up seeing that has begun to twitch as you kind of get to the very, like, the gate itself, you notice that it is this younger woman. She has very shortly cropped blonde hair. You can see that there's, like, blood splatters all over her body. She's wearing, like, very tight-fitting clothes, and she has what's like a very big machete, like, in one of her hands, and it looks like, you know, she has been, like, torn to shreds across her chest, across her stomach, across her legs. But yeah, she looks a mess. For Lark, who managed to get an extreme success on their spot hidden, you notice that this person is definitely breathing. You can just see the rise and the fall of the chest, even though it's quite shallow. You notice that. You also notice that the other bodies here are definitely not moving. There doesn't seem to be any signs of life about them at all. And you can see that the two large iron doors that are kind of in that kind of like tunnel within the mountainside, you can see that they're slightly ajar, and you think you see objects moving in the darkness beyond, but it's like maybe a person, maybe a creature, even though you had an extreme success. The fact that you can see there's anything moving in there at all, being it's quite a distance off, you know that there is something going on in there.
Lark is going to pull out their hand sickle from their backpack. And just for clarification, was the woman who was still breathing, was that the same person that was also where the foot was twitching?
Yes. Yes, it's the one that, like,
she's the owner of the twitching foot.
Yes, she is the owner of Twitchy Foot. Ralph, is there anything that you're doing?
I want to figure out what killed them, basically, or if I've seen anything like this before. Because this seems very extreme.
I guess the first obvious question is, this is clearly an animal attack. Like, these are not machete slices or gunshot wounds.
These are quite clearly creature attack. You cannot tell whether it's a biological animal or a biological plant or a mixture of the two.
Was it fauna or flora?
I'd say, Ralph, it's either going to be a natural world or it'll be a medicine check or a mythos check.
Library use.
I'm sorry, mythos check?
Yeah, so we have Yamel Mythos, which is our equivalent of Eldritch Knowledge.
Ah, okay, yes.
You said library use, Yamel?
No.
Mythos.
It's mythos,
natural
medicine,
world.
Or natural
world. Medicine and natural world. Is this going to sound really stupid, but it's the higher of the three?
Oh, yeah, you want a high skill. A skill with a higher bar.
Yeah, I know.
But I do need to know what you're rolling.
It's a 59 versus 15, so it's a failure.
Yeah, but what's
the mythos roll?
Okay. Yeah, nothing. Nothing is coming to mind at all.
Yeah.
You probably could guess that it is some sort of plant attack. These don't look massively like bears, which aren't massively common in the area, which would be your, like, oh, it's a bear attack. We don't have bears here.
Polar bears! So like, in the Alps!
Yeah. you don't think this area is renowned for its bears, so this is probably some sort of plant attack, but anything beyond that, you've got nothing, buddy.
The body's still breathing.
She's alive? Oh. Sully, like, starts moving closer to the lady. He's scanning around with his gun and looks back at the party. And just from a quick glance, does any of them look like they might be, like, in any way medicine trained? Like, like anything that would hint that they would be any like good. I'm okay at first aid, which is what we need right now, but I'm basically asking the group, like, does anybody want to take a step forward and go, I'll do the first aid or medicine?
I just I'm rolled okay, Mel Mythos instead of rolling medicine. So if that tells you.
Lark isn't going close to that person that looks vile, whatever the fuck happened there.
It looks vile.
The floor is covered in blood.
You could probably guess, I'm going to say, like, because you managed to get, like, a bit of a glance at Asta's stuff and Asta, like, before you interacted with him properly, you would recognize what looks like healer's herbs here and there. Like, you recognize, like, they're not good, but obviously material that has been, like, broken down into what could be used as bandages. Like, maybe he has some sort of really good first aid, but maybe he's more inclined in different manners. Like, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I think Sully's going to make an, what's it called? A negative assumption and assume it's some kind of magical mumbo-jumbo.
Reverse deduction.
he looks over at the crew and just like, all right, cover me, please. And he's going to throw his shotgun to the ground to his side, takes off his backpack, and he goes into like one of the easier access. He throws off his backpack and just goes into a pocket and grabs out some bandages. And he's going to start tending to the lady.
Didn't you say that she looked like she was ripped apart or something?
She had a massive...
Yeah, it looks like she has like really deep like cuts and gashes in her that are not clean in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. I guess like as soon as Lark sees that... Sully is like attempting to assist the person. Like, Lark puts the hand sickle back in the slot where it goes and approaches from behind and like looks over his shoulder.
Asta would definitely come with, and Asta is kind of like aiming and pointing the gun and just doing a really good like visual check of the area to make sure that you two are safe. I think that's probably what Astra is up to. As you approach the girl, like, you can see her eyes are beginning to, like, she is, like, focusing. You can see that there's, like, tears are streaming down her face. And she occasionally just, like, coughs and, like, she's trying to speak. You can see that she's trying to move, but that's just making everything so much worse.
Yeah. I think Sully gets out probably some kind of pocket knife and cuts away the cloth that's like covering up the wounds, and he starts assessing the damage and doing his best to stop the bleeding. And I'm pretty sure he would also say something along the lines of like, stop trying to talk, focus on your breathing, focus on your breathing. That's all you need to do right now.
Take a first aid check for me.
Don't fuck me.
Can these be assisted?
If you assist, then that gives him a bonus die, which in this system basically lets you re-roll or lets you roll the tens dice twice and you take the higher result.
Yeah. All right. Lower result.
Better result, sorry.
Yeah. All right. I rolled an 82, so I really do appreciate it. What does help look like from Lark? I'm genuinely just curious.
Lark doesn't have like a lot of first aid training. But they will try to help you, like, probably, like, while you are focusing on the wound, focus on, like, her face, like, make sure that the airway is open and everything and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And maybe try to position her, kind of like, I don't know what the position is called, the one that's, like, where you're on the side that you can breathe better.
Recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. All right. Love it. All right. Rolling that extra dice. That's a 0. So I rolled a... So I rolled a 82 and a 2.
Damn. So, 2 is an extreme success. So yes. You can mark that as a 2 improve. Mm-hmm. On an extreme success with the help of Lark, who kind of like helps tip the head back a little bit, make sure that the kind of whatever blood is in the chest is in the throat has been like taken out. And like, yeah, you begin to like wrap some of these things. You remember that, oh crap, I actually have some sort of disinfectant, and you kind of like begin to take care and wrap and bind some of these wounds up. Between the two of you, you roll her onto her side and she doesn't seem to be letting go of her machete at all. It's like her knuckles are like bone white clasped on it. And she's still like breathing exceptionally ragged, but she is doing much better. I won't have you roll a d4 for healing at this point because her health is kind of irrelevant. So yeah, she just begins to take some very like ragged breaths and she says,
Siluna. She's alone.
Where is she?
You see the woman like lifts her head and she kind of like nods in the direction of the complex inside the mountain.
What attacked you?
There were things that came out the vents. We had been here a little while and we thought we were safe. But they... It came out the vents and it started attacking us. Some of us ran out, but it came after us. Then it went back in after Siluna. You have to help her.
We're gonna help her. We're gonna help her. I just have to ask you a question, couple more questions. Sully's gonna look around. Does it look like the people were moved or dragged here, or does it look like this is where they made their stand?
Spot hidden?
Alright.
All I can think when you're like, but wait.
But wait, there's more.
We've been trying to contact you about your car's extended warranty.
Well. And another extreme success.
I'm just waiting to have a success. I haven't had one yet. I don't know what it's like. It must be nice.
Just start shooting your gun at things. Eventually, you'll get a success.
It looks like some of them tried a last stand. Like you can see that the way that some of them have been like thrown backwards, they have like guns pointed roughly in the direction. You can see that there are clearly like spent cases all around. You can see that there's impacts on the wall and on the door and on the floor from weapon shots that were fired at that kind of like entrance way. So yes, some of them at least tried to make a last stand here.
Okay, but nobody was dragged or moved around. Like, this creature was not trying to hide them.
Not as far as you can tell, no. Okay. Like, maybe some of them were kind of like, no, yeah. No, there would be none of them dragged at all.
Basically just establishing if the creature is smart. Because that changes how you have to deal with that thing. All right. You said there was like a little guard outpost kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just like big enough for a person to sit or stand in.
Yeah. Sully's going to point to that thing and say, we should probably move her over there, away from the grass and the plants. It will give her a better place to recover. The intention just to give her a place to like kind of sit so that she can defend herself if something comes.
You can absolutely like move her. I mean... She's either going to croak right now or she's not. Like, you moving her is going to have absolutely no difference on this. You're able to, like, lift and carry her and get her over to the hut. There's no way that she's walking. You can, like, not... Like, she's not going to lay down in there. Like, the sitting is more like a really big slouch where, like, half of her is propped up. And she has, like, you know, she has, like, a machete in her hand. So it's not going to be a good defense, but maybe something.
It's also just, like, getting her away from... plants, because I'm imagining there's a lot of hyperactive plants that will just attack like unconscious humans.
They smell blood and they're coming for you.
Yeah, they're like drinking that. Right now.
Yeah. I don't know if this is anything we'll establish later, but like I'm definitely imagining like, yeah, if a human is just like killed, they'll be devoured by plants by the end of the day. Like I always imagine they've just wrapped up like instantly. But again, this is just in my head. I'll write a short story.
Wandering around the world in paranoia is a smart idea. You're able to get her settled down.
Did you mention how long ago this was? I think not, right?
You can ask her.
You can ask her.
When was this? When did this happen?
Maybe 15, 20 minutes.
All right.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh?
That was out of character.
Okay. Just like Like, oh, wait, 15, 20 minutes ago? That's when I turned into a werewolf and attacked all those people.
Wait a minute.
Sully looks back over the group and he kind of like, he's asking, but with like a kind of a commanding tone. You guys can definitely tell that Sully has, like, when we were talking at the gas station, he had a little bit of a, like, a chip on his shoulder, kind of like he was trying to be friendly, but he definitely like didn't come off like super friendly, especially after the gunshots and all that stuff. But he's definitely like kind of changed gears now. Like, he's definitely in a different gear. And he kind of asks, but is kind of semi-commanding. He's just like, all right, so does somebody want to stay here with her? Or are we all intending to go in together?
The door was slightly open and it looked like there were things moving, I think. I don't think I want to go in there. I think I will stay here.
I understand. I don't want to put you in any danger. Are you handy with that? He looks at your blade. Sickle.
Well, I survived until now.
Like, you can see Sully's, like, digesting that answer. Just like, do you mean alone? I mean, we're all alive, and I think most of us are older than you, so I don't know what you're...
dab on us.
Yeah. But he's definitely like digesting the sentence and they're like, all right. Oh, damn it. What was his name?
Asta.
Asta. All right, Ralph. Asta. Do you want to cover the rear or are you coming in?
I'll be right behind you, eh?
Fantastic. Sully's gonna take off his backpack and he's gonna put it in the like little room that the lady's in. I'm assuming there's space for it. If not, he just...
I don't think so.
Okay.
It really is only big enough for someone to stand or maybe sit in, and like her legs are poking out there. And if you put the bag in there, it's gonna take up like half the room.
He basically takes off his backpack and leans it against the shed. And...
Oh, is it like a night guard thingy? Little hut? Yeah.
Yeah, he leans it against the shed and night guard thingy. And he looks over at Lark. Please keep that very, very safe, but I do not want this on my back if something's attacking us.
Lark nods, yeah.
He has a lot of stuff in his pockets, and he does like a pat down, just making sure, like, yeah, I've got extra shells. I take the rifle with me in case that becomes important. It's like doing like a little bit of inventory before he starts heading out.
You see Asta, like, he looks at what you've done and just kind of like shrugs and rolls his eyes. Like, he has a feeling. He takes like the side bag he has off and he puts it next to yours. And he says to Lark,
if anything happens to me, there's a place not far from here. It's called Diablera. It's one of them collective places. I've got a friend there. Can you make sure it gets there?
Did he say a name to who to give it to in Diablera? Diablera.
Yeah, his name's Henry. He came from the same place that I came from.
Yeah. Just taking notes, because I'm imagining Sully has a much better memory than Aethel. All right. Sully, with his shotgun ready, starts moving forward.
Do you not need to leave anything, Ralph?
No. I'm going to put my VR headset down and begin recording.
Very smart.
It's coming with me.
Very smart.
This video is going straight to live.
Vidbox.
Vidbox.
Immediately. It's the only thing that's still streaming is Vidbox. Yeah, absolutely. The three of you make your way forward. I'm assuming, Sully, you're in the lead?
Unfortunately, yes.
I'm more beside you than behind you.
I'm hoping...
Okay, Asta will take the rear then. Asta will take the rear.
I'm hoping you have some VR night vision bullshit in your goggles.
Yeah, it's... So, yes, kind of, but not... an extreme amount, like you're thinking. Okay. Like, it's not military just night vision. This is like, you know how VR headsets can see infrared light? It's just basically a flashlight that no one else can see except the goggles. It's the distance of a short range flashlight. I don't have insane night vision. But to a minor degree, yes, he uses his headset for night vision stuff.
Yeah. So the pair of you make your way up to the doors. Astra's behind you with a rifle, which he obviously has aimed a little bit high. He's quite tall himself, but like he still needs to aim over your heads. And he's definitely ready. As you get to the doors, I'd like you to either make a listen check or a spot hidden check. Ralph, you may do the spot hidden with advantage because you do, with a bonus die because you do have that little extra something in your VRs.
Ooh!
Ooh,
10 versus 15.
Now you can mark it off too. Yay!
Yay! Extreme success.
That's your first success. Woo!
Yay!
Baby.
Yay. I did it.
Yep, don't forget to mark off your spot hidden. So, Sully, you got a what kind of success?
I got a hard success.
Mm-hmm. And Ralph got an extreme. As you look into the darkness, you can see what looks like a very long corridor that like begins to dip down. You can see that there are pipes and electrical conduits that seem to be running the length of this. You can see that off to the right-hand side, there seems to be this room, which was not evident at all from where you were originally standing, but now you're here. You can look right, and as you're looking around, you can see that there is just what looks like blood is smeared along the walls and along the ground. You can see lots of footprints in the blood as people have obviously been running through. On the right-hand side in that room that you saw, you see this kind of older looking lady. She has like lots and lots of grey hair that's tied back into a braid that's kind of like tucked into her shirt, and you can see it because of your extreme and really good successes. She's wearing what looks like a very tight shirt, and you can see that she is like holding two machetes, like one very defensively and one kind of in front of her. You can see that she obviously has a stance as somebody who knows what the fuck she's doing. You can tell that she's obviously spotted and heard you come in because her hearing isn't trash. She heard the sounds behind her. She kind of tips her head a little bit but begins to focus again on the vent that's right in front of her. And then as you kind of take a few steps in, look down the corridor and see literally nothing there, and you look into this room that has a table and a couple of chairs and what looks like a couple of lockers with like clothes hanging there, you see movement in that vent. The vent cover itself has fallen off long since, and you can see that there is this creature that is long and tendril-like. It's very pale. You can see that it has this like big flower on it that is kind of this dark pinkish kind of color, and you can see that it has like glowing blue veins all across it. You can see that it kind of like begins to slowly make its way out, and you see the woman kind of jump up and slash forward with her machete. You can see that it kind of, as she jumps up and slashes forward, it kind of like knocks against the side of the venting, and you can see the vent kind of dent a little bit, but she kind of drops down and lands perfectly well on her feet. And she kind of like, you see the plant kind of like fall back a little bit, but then begin to like, again, like creep its way forward. What do you want to do?
Sully has a much better experience with shotguns than Aether does. do I feel like it would be safe to shoot one of my, we had a conversation about this. I don't know how much you remember about it. His improvised shotgun shells.
Yeah.
Would he feel safe shooting that above her head through the vent? Like,
you would probably want to ask her to duck and get much closer.
Yeah. All right. Then, like, Sully. Let's then first just say Sully looks to what the other two are doing.
Aster is behind you. He probably hasn't even seen what you're doing.
I don't have any game saving ideas at the moment, so still assessing the situation.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't...
go ahead.
He moves, like, shockingly quickly and surely, like the gun trained at the vent. He starts moving forward, and he just quickly says, just, "Miss Duck!" as he, like, starts moving into the room.
She kind of crouches down and rolls to the side and still ends up in like a fighter stance.
Yeah, he like as soon as she's like he feels like she's out of the way, he's just gonna blast a single shotgun shell at the vent and rack another one as soon as he's done.
Okay, yep, go ahead and make your attack roll.
All right, that would be firearms, rifle, or shotgun. And that is an extreme success. Jesus.
All right, who did you pay?
So
why are you getting all these successes? Who did you pay?
So I happen to know the guys who made Quest Portal.
Insert ad spot here.
Oh, God, no. Save it for the end. Save it for the end.
No. I rolled a 15 on a 75, so that's an extreme success.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely, you blap the shit out of it. It kind of like, as you kind of like lift and aim and get it like kind of as it was like really the whole petal face, whole face of the flower was kind of like beginning to make its way out of the vent. You kind of put your shotgun up, one good shot. Poof, you see like the whole thing just like shatter into pieces as like these small pieces of your shots just going to kind of spray out, and you see it kind of like being pushed back. You see that there's a lot of like dinks and tinks as it kind of bounces off the metal of the vent, and you hear this kind of like, and you see this kind of dark yellow pollen that begins to just like eep out, sorry, like begin to like seep out of the flower that you have just destroyed. The woman grabs you by the shoulder and runs out of the room and throws closed the door.
Oh, she's pulling me out?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
But not the other two.
I'm assuming she's just like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, she kind of like closes the door behind her and like she kind of like leans forward, like her hands on her knees, like just kind of like trying to breathe. Both machetes still clutched in her hands. Oh, fuck. Thanks.
I'm assuming you're Saluna.
Guilty as charged. Pleasure to meet you all.
Unfortunate circumstances. Do you believe there are anybody else inside the burrow?
She shakes her head and she says, no.
Then Sully is already retreating out of the door when she says no. No reason to stay here any longer.
Where are you going?
I'm getting away from this plant thing.
Do you know how much shit is in here? There's so much stuff we need to rescue. We can't just leave it.
Yes, but your friend is outside. You might want to give them a pep talk. They are very hurt.
Shit. All right.
And she kind of like follows you guys outside.
Yeah. Once we're outside, like Sully like re-racks the shotgun. He's like already in setup mode as they start walking towards the shed.
Yeah, you see that she kind of like
I'm gonna stay behind.
Puts like a hand over her mouth as she sees like the carnage in like full daylight out here. You can see that she just like is taking it in, but she sees her friend who's in the guardhouse, and she just kind of like bolts her way across, moving at surprising speed for one who's quite old. And she kind of like drops to one knee next to the girl, and they begin to like speak very quietly. And as soon as the girl tries to speak, she just kind of like the older woman like shakes her head like, No. It's okay. You did the one thing you needed to do. You survived. It's okay. Just breathe. And she takes off, like, whatever jacket she's wearing. She lays it over the girl. And you can see that her hair is, like, definitely quite long and quite thick. And she kind of, like, turns to look at you, and she looks at Lark, and she's like, thank you for taking care of my friend.
Lark just nods and then leaves them be. Just steps out of the way, like, not part of this.
It was me.
You were trying to say something new.
I was saying that I stay behind in the vault.
Oh,
in the burrow.
Then Asta will stay with you. He doesn't think you guys splitting up is a smart idea.
All right. Once she has had her, like, a little, like, reunion with a girl, Sully, like, All right. You say there's a lot of things to rescue from this place.
Of course. That's why we're here.
How long have you guys been here before we arrived?
And Sully says this as they start moving back to the group. Assuming the rest of the group can hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I won't make you roll a listen check for this. Everyone can hear.
My intention is not to interrogate her without Ralph there, is what I'm trying to hint at.
Yeah, she says, yeah, we've been here 3 or 4 weeks now, I think. Which kind of does tie up with what Ralph, with what you know.
Yeah.
Like,
would you have, did you guys see any seat storages while you were looking around?
Yeah, there wasn't much. A few basics, a couple of different types of potatoes, carrots, sort of root vegetables, really.
Did it look like somebody had taken, or was it just small storage?
She shakes her head and she says, when we got here, it's, well, kind of accidentally busted the lock getting in, but it's perfect. No one had set foot in here for however long this place has been.
Sully is definitely thinking to himself, like, and then in 3 weeks, something's already in there. You guys fucked up. but, yeah, he does not say that out loud. Once the group is together again, Sully, like, gets in front again, I guess. Fucking shotguns, they are the breacher weapon.
Asta says, one of your scouts found me. I was working at a local farm. They said you had magics here. And she nods and she says, yeah, this place, it's been on our radar for a little while. Someone had a feeling, an inclination. Some of us have blessings. And like an ancestral memory is how they described it. They knew this place was here. And we looked around and, yeah, this place used to belong to a group. They were called Vale Lake and they were preparing for the sprouting. Apparently they knew it was coming. There's seeds in here, there's magical tomes and books, there's relics that can hold back some of the plants, and we were studying it, and then everything went wrong. But maybe that's a story for another day. We can just get in. There's some very specific things in here that we need, and once we have them, we can abandon this place to the plants.
Do you have any idea what that thing in the vent is?
Would Sully have recognized it in any way?
You can take a history check or you can take a natural world check. And Ralph, you can do the same. Seriously, dude.
I got an 8. That's a hard success.
91 versus 30.
I swear Aethel is rigged.
Aethel, seriously. It's just what it is. Quest Portal saw, oh, that person is Icelandic. And they were just like, yes, bump his numbers up. Fuck him. Fuck everyone else.
Let's give that guy a bump.
Time to set my VPN to Iceland.
Hang on. Hanna med Íslenskanav. Hanna góð, já. Like, fuck you guys. We love you. Unfortunately, Ralph, this is nothing that you've ever come across or anything that you've really heard of. And Sully... Yeah, this is a pollen cloud devourer. It's known to hide in like small confined spaces like pipes or vents. You know that usually they're kind of like pink or blue. They'll either have pink petals with like blue veins that glow, or they'll have blue petals with pink veins that glow. But either way, you know often when they are destroyed or when they have like a perfect face on view at somebody's face, they would just and spray them down with pollen, which will eventually just give the person breathing problems and end up killing them and slowing them down. So yeah, it's a pretty bad plant to tangle with.
Go all into right. The person's air vents.
So in the air vents to get into your air vents, baby.
vent-to-vent action. Would Sully know if there is any known medicine to help deal with pollen if you get hit?
Yeah, but it's something you'd have to take within a day or so. And you would probably find them at collectives. It's just, yeah, like kind of like this, like kind of this like white powder that you just put a little bit of water in and then like drink it back and try not to spit it out. It's quite bitter. Yeah, you've seen people take it. Yeah, they usually end up still having breathing problems throughout their life that come and go. But if you can get it within a day, they'd usually be okay.
Okay. Just would like to know how fucked I am when I get hit with the pollen attack. Sure, let's get my character asthma in the first session.
COVID.
No!
It's magical pollen plants. It's not.
God damn it. On your extreme success... on your hard success, you would know that the wounds sustained by the people on the outside don't match with the MO of this plant.
I know. I like when you were describing the magic creature, I'm like, it does not sound like something that would chase them out of the goddamn place.
And rip open the doors, bar doors, whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, as we start like advancing into the burrow, Sully's just gonna real quick ask, like, Saluna, the things in the vents, it doesn't really chase people outside. Do you know what it was that got outside?
She shakes her head and she says, nope. I managed to take down most of these vent creatures. I saw lots of people running outside and heard gunshots, but I was a little too busy not being killed by that other thing.
All right.
And Lark is all by myself.
Don't worry, you've got a guardian with a machete.
I had plans for people who decided to leave themselves outside, Kessir.
Yeah, then I think we're just advancing inside unless... Ralph wants to send his drone ahead.
Where? To outside?
No, to inside.
To inside? I am inside. I didn't leave the inside.
So the other thing that's left inside is that there was a long corridor that kind of dipped down, but you couldn't see the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that's where she's trying to go, because the vault wouldn't just be like one small room. The dwelling wouldn't be one small. It's like definitely something further in.
It's just one big, what do they call it? Antechamber or something like that? That's the entrance. It's just one.
There's
big...
only the antechamber.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold on to my batteries. I'm not going to send the vault out just now.
Smart.
What would you choose, if you could choose to preserve anything in here? What would you prioritize?
There's a book. It's called... It was written by a woman in the early 1800s. Came from a place called Lien. Her name was Seraphine. She seemed to know about all the weird stuff that was coming before it happened. Yeah, it happened 80 years ago, but she was alive more than 200 years ago, 300 years ago almost, blimey. She has magical knowledge that spread the globe. If there's anything in here, anything at all, that could maybe save our world, maybe even get it slightly back so that we don't have to fear for the life of our kids, yeah, it's that book I want to see.
All right, let's find it then, I guess.
Yep. Asta nods as he's like following you all in, and he says, that's good. That's the sort of thing I hoped you would have, like your scout said. And as you're walking down this corridor, As you kind of make that steep descension down, you see that there is a door ahead of you and it's open and it leads to kind of like this big empty kind of chamber ahead of you. It seems to have like a series of doors right in front of you, these massive like metal doors that look like very difficult to open. You can see buttons everywhere. Strangely enough, the lights are all still on. You can tell that there's still power going on. And the further in and the further down you go, it seems to be getting like much, much, much colder. There's like a giant door ahead of you. There's a giant door off to your left-hand side and another one off to the right. You can see that the one to the left is open, but the other two aren't. I'm going to hold you guys here.
All right.
Lark, what are you doing outside?
I think Lark is mostly like, definitely like, the first thing they did was like look around the little hut they like for spots where they can hide that isn't necessarily a bush. And
so like, yeah, the hut is like so small, it literally is, you could stand in it or sit in it. Like there is
no around,
now that the girl is in
the,
it
on the premise, like basically just get a mental image of what the place looks like in case they need to eat.
Yeah, so you kind of have like the chain link fence, which kind of goes around, and some of it like it's broken, like off to one side. Like, yeah, it's a bit of a run, but you could definitely get through it. But there's forest over there. You can see that the gate, which has been like kind of torn open, that's definitely an exit, and it's right next to that little hut where the woman is currently sitting slash slouching slash laying slash probably still dying. So there's that. You can see there's a few cars around that are clearly quite rusted, but you could definitely hide behind some of those. There's lots of pieces of broken concrete. Some of them are up at like a really big angle, and you probably couldn't 100% hide behind it, but you could probably buy yourself enough time by like scooting to it and then jutting off to somewhere else.
Yeah, so they're definitely like keeping a mental image of everything that is there and like making sure that in case they need to get into the vault really quick to warn the others, they have a pathway open and that they always try to stay like quote unquote hidden in behind something, a shadow, like just make sure they're not in plain view, you know?
Yeah. You notice that's coming through the gate is what looks like a vine of Zelata's Grace. Its blue kind of vine is like quite thin and then rapidly gets thicker and thicker until it's about the thickness of a human arm. It's probably much bigger than you've seen one, actually.
The gate, is that the entrance to the premise or the gate that the guys went into the burrow?
So into the premise itself. Okay. Because the entrance to the mountain complex are just definitely doors. They're like solid doors. Like you see the vine just kind of making its way through. You can see that there are the leaves get thicker and thicker, and you can suddenly see that there is what looks like a really big flower on top of it, and it seems to be snaking its way through the gate and then abruptly turns and starts heading towards you.
Oh, they're definitely trying to like back away in a way that they can get out of the way of the thing, like either behind the little hut or like if they can find something like a what is it called, water pipe, like no drainage pipe, climb up a little bit, climb on like
you could definitely roll a climb check to get on top of this like tiny hut. Little like security hut thingy, like to get yourself off the ground, but yeah, like that's probably the best you get if you're going to try and get height. Your best option.
I'm gonna try that.
Go ahead and roll a climb for me. It's fairly easy.
64. Wait, hang on. Nope, I failed.
You can use luck if you want to, or you can just experience what's about to happen. It is a lot of luck, though.
No, I
you
think
you can push yourself.
So, I don't think like Lark has probably seen the purple ones before, but I don't think they've ever like seen what they do. So, they're definitely like going to take out the sickle, and that's like be prepared.
Like you've definitely come across the Lata's Grace before. It's never been aggressive towards like anyone that you have ever seen or ever heard of. And you know that it often does move, and it does like try and do stuff. You know that it is often an indicator that something really weird is happening in an area, be it good or bad. You can choose to have it as a good omen or a bad omen or neither. It is entirely up to you. But it's never known to be aggressive.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's why I think I wouldn't push the luck.
Yeah. Okay. As you like think about climbing up, you kind of do a precursory like climb and just like decide it's just not worth, like it's a little bit unstable. You're worried about maybe falling through the roof itself, and you just come down. And Stellatus Grace kind of stops and curls up very, very close to you until the plant is very, very, very close. And then it does something that you've never seen before. You see the leaves pop open until you can see that very, very center of the plant, what looks like half a sphere that has lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of little holes in it. And it starts to make noise. And every time that kind of bassy noise comes in, you can see this kind of half sphere kind of like vibrate and shift and point out and come back in again. For those of us in the real world, this looks a lot like a speaker.
Oh, I was thinking of a colander.
Not quite, but very close. And you hear noise come out. And you hear...
Are we sure they're even coming here? I can't feel my feet, man. If the plant says they sent Aster this way, then they'll be here. You could get your first APOP or reconsidering your life choices. The fuck is an APOP?
It's apoptosis. It's programmed cell death, ridding the body of parts that aren't needed anymore. It's what the sickles call it anyway. Helps.
Helps to cope? Nah, to understand why we're doing what we're doing. Oh fuck, he's here. That's Aster, right? If you trust that you planted the root, then it's time. Nazir, I call upon...
You hear nothing but static. And then suddenly, it cuts back.
So what's next? It's just one more in Diablera, and then the barrage of light can begin.
And then the petals close around the speaker, and you suddenly see that the whole limb that came out to reach you slowly begins to turn brown and black and disappear into, like, this fine dust. Could I have you make a sanity roll, please?
Don't stare straight at the anomalies.
61. That's a success.
A success. Then yes. You only take 1 point of sanity damage.
Lark isn't sure what exactly that was, but they heard the name of Aster, and so they're going to look into the, like, look around at, like, to the gate. Is the entire vine completely gone? Like, disintegrated?
Yeah, like you kind of look, you can't see where it originally came from. You just notice that it was coming through the gate. But yeah, There's this kind of like fine black powder that is beginning to be like blown away in the cold wind.
Yeah. So Lark is going to take their sickle and look into the hut and tell the woman inside, I need to go inside.
She nods. Like she's trying to save her energy, but she nods.
Yeah. And I think Lark is going to close the door and go inside as quietly as they can and try to sneak after the people. Well, not sneak, but they don't know what...
That requires a stealth check, my friend.
You know, just be quiet and make sure that their own noises don't overshadow the noises of the people that are in front of them. So they can find them in case this is splitting up or whatever. They don't know what they're expecting on the inside to look like.
Yeah, I'll still make you make a stealth check. Okay. Like, it's just the difference between like how well you've managed to hide your sounds so that you don't alert and can still hear versus to them just absolutely not knowing here.
90, that's a fail.
God damn it. I'm trying to help y'all get like improvement roles that aren't Ithel. Yeah. Absolutely. You managed to make your way down there. It's not quite as stealthy as you'd want it to be, but you can definitely still hear like the four of them ahead. You can like basically see, like, as you kind of, like, creep up, you definitely, like, see Asta, like, turn around to look at you, sees that you're coming, and just, like, returns his attention to what's happening in front of him. The five of you are very, very close to this, like, big open area where, yeah, there's a giant metal door off to the left, which seems to be open and ajar. You can see there is a giant metal door in front of you, which is still closed, and the same to the one to the right. You can see in this area that there is evidence of very, 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 very dead, like, plant devourer creatures that have obviously, like, some of them leaning out of vents, some of them are just laying dead on the floor. Can y'all take a listen check for me, please?
Ooh, a success.
Woohoo! You can mark an improvement. So the young'un amongst us manages to pass their listen check. How about the two slightly older ones?
Nah. My ears are full of grit.
Yeah.
You rolled the exact same thing against the exact same threshold.
Yeah, yeah, you two don't hear shit.
We're just so in sync.
But that's okay. Lark, like, as you're headed down and you're kind of, like, trying to listen to intently, like, what's going ahead of you so you know where they are, and you manage to catch them fairly quickly anyway. You listen... Sorry.
God, our stupid old people ears, Azor.
Back in my day, I could hear.
What?
The man who just blasted a shotgun indoors can't hear anything.
I guess, yeah, you two can like blame that.
For reference, I'm still a little bit away, right? I'm not already.
Yeah, you're not right behind them. Okay. Like, at least Asta knows that you're here, even if the others don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear, like, kind of like this shuffling, moving sounds. Like, what kind of success? Is it just the normal success you got?
Yeah,
you hear the sound of, like, something big, like, moving, kind of, like, scraping or, like, sliding across, like, metal or floor. You hear the sound of what sounds like kind of, like, scraping, screeching noises, as if someone has, like, pushed a table and it hasn't got, like, proper protection on the floor, and it just, like, noise. You hear a little bit of that. It's a little distance off, but it feels like it's directly ahead of you.
And this was behind a door, right? You said there was another door?
Yep.
Lark is going to hurriedly run up to the group, and they're going to poke Sully, and they're going to signal them if they can talk in, like, for a second off to the side.
Sully looks at you like a hint of surprise. Like, it's not like a "whoa," but it's just like a okay. Like a small scrunch of the eyebrows. And yeah, then he, like, just kind of leans in
off to the side. And then Lark is going to say, I saw one of the purple plants outside, and I don't know what, it made that sound that, you know, those little machines make, that the little, whatever. It made a sound, and it sounded like, I heard voices on it, and the voices were talking that Aster was leading people here, and it was a plan that he was planning to bring them here. I think something is wrong.
A plant told you this?
Yeah, one of the purple ones, the ones that are harmless.
Oh, Salada's Grace?
Yeah, well, I think this is a trap. And, like, they're trying to repeat as best as they can what they heard, because I do not have it verbatim.
We're going to go on the assumption, and we're going to put this out now, mm-hmm. that if you hear recordings from Zalata's Grace, mm-hmm. that you are able to repeat them perfectly. It might be magic. Verbatim. Every goddamn word. It might be magic. It might be that you all have extremely good memories. Or it might be this is how we're going to cope with sharing information.
Thank you.
This is how we're going to cope. You're welcome.
I appreciate
it. So in world, you all have fantastic memories when it comes to Zalata Grace recordings.
It sounds to me like somebody was trying to ambush Aster. If I'm understanding correctly.
You think?
It might even be... It says the plan...
It says... I said. It was my words.
Lark said. You said.
And... Before I came here, there were noises behind that door. There's definitely something behind it. Like chairs being moved backwards.
I'm going to say that Asta and Saluna nailed it. That the pair of them have gone to that like open door and kind of like, as you two are talking, Saluna just kind of like turns to Ralph and says, maybe you guys want to try and check out some of the other doors. We'll clear this out as soon as we can. And once you're in... Yeah, whatever. And the pair of them kind of like begin to make their way to try and like open this door a bit wider and like go and search what's inside that part.
Quick, Neil, the NPCs are distracted. Get in here.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, and Lark is going to repeat the same thing to Ralph as well. Or maybe he joined earlier. Who knows?
Maybe we said this before we had our conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're thinking something strange is going on with Aster then?
I think so.
I couldn't see him when we first showed up. I couldn't tell something was really weird about it.
You couldn't see him?
Was he around a corner?
Just couldn't focus on him. Couldn't see him, even. Hard to explain.
Too fast?
It didn't seem right.
He did say that he used to practice magic. Could be that he was doing something, but I don't know why that would affect you, but not the rest of us.
All right, well, let's just be really careful, eh? I don't know who to trust. This seems weird, so...
V, quick question.
Yeah.
What Lark described from Saladus Grace talking to it, has Lark ever experienced this? Lark, Sully.
No. I was like, what?
Yeah, has Sully ever experienced
it? Are you asking
this?
For me?
No, Sully would never have experienced this before.
Would you have heard of other people experiencing this?
I'm going to say yeah, but it's more kind of like rumors. Like, you know a person who says they know a person that this happened to. Like, it's only like one degree of separation away. It's not like Kevin Bacon levels away, but like, you know someone who says that they know someone for sure. You've heard of it, but never seen it.
And I'm assuming the rumors are basically like, when Saladus Grace talks to you, it's like, it's whispering truths kind of thing. Like, even if they're unfun truths, it's usually like, whatever it was saying is usually kind of factual. I'm trying to establish if Sully...
I am going to say that that is what you can believe.
Yeah.
I will neither confirm 100% if that is true.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right, I'm trying to figure out where Sully stands on the whispers from Saladus Grace. Because, Sully's not a fan of magic, so, like...
It's all propaganda. Birds aren't real.
Fake news.
They're making humans turn against each other.
The whole sprouting is a cover up because they're changing the batteries in the birds. Have you seen any birds recently?
They always seem to have Appleton stamped on their ass.
I'm just trying to figure out like what Sully's stance on Saladus Grace is. Oh, fuck me. I have to kind of make a decision here. And one of them, meta-wise, I know is a very beneficial decision.
Maybe make like a history thingy or whatever if you have ever interacted with Saladus Grace.
Feels check. No, like he would have, like, again, like the same as basically everyone else. Like what Lark just experienced is not something that many other people have experienced at all. And it's definitely nothing that Sully would have experienced.
Yeah, then I think Sully is going to say something along the lines of,
I've heard of Salada's Grace whispering to people, talking to people before. And people tell me that it tells you the truth. But it is a plant. And it is part of the whole weird world. So let's not put too much stock in it. But if we were to give it the benefit of the doubt, it sounds to me like whatever is going on here is to do with Aster. Or this thing you heard was way back in the day, and Aster isn't Aster anymore. He just says he is.
Here's where my stance on this whole thing is. I have heard there's books down here that are very, I wouldn't say valuable, but, you know, important, right? Mm-hmm. A catalog information. I'm not saying that I want this book. Whoever can have it, but if it's important, I just think we should focus on getting whatever's in here that's important away from whoever may or may not be, named by plants at us, you know.
Fair.
Can I have the three of you please make a spot hidden check?
That's a fail.
Oh, Neil.
Oh, that's rough, buddy.
93. Man,
Luck
if 90s were good.
Coming in strong once again. Sully and Ralph, as you're kind of like really getting into this conversation, you fail to notice, but Lark does, that it appears as if Aster has been standing at the door for a while listening to you guys.
Lark's going to look over to Aster and I guess in the middle of the conversation that they're doing this thing where they're like, oh, I'm being overheard. Just stop talking.
Speak of the devil.
And like you does like intensive eye contact with a person until the others like turn around to notice it.
Speaking of the foul plants.
Unless he has some kind of issue with us cataloging the information.
I think Sully's looking over at Aster at this point.
I like the idea that like Ralph has his back to him and doesn't understand what's going on.
He's behind.
Oh no, that he says that after he notices.
Yeah.
He says that to Aster. Like
Point. Good point.
Unless nice.
He notices, you know. He's saying that to the person he's talking about at this point. Like unless he notices.
Yeah.
Or unless he doesn't whatever I said.
Unless he doesn't want us.
Cataloging that information.
Yeah, Aster takes a few steps forward, and he definitely still has his rifle in hand. He hasn't like become untense, and he definitely takes a few steps towards you all. He doesn't seem to be raising his gun. For those of you who are astutely aware of how guns work, he still has the safety on. You can see Saluna, who is like rapidly like gathering things together that seem to be important to her. And like you see weird little trinkets. You see like an old horseshoe. You see like what looks like a small bracelet with a little bell on it. Like you see lots of weird little things going in here. So she's kind of like busy packing what she thinks are like essential weird things from this place. But Aster like takes a few steps forward and he says,
"So, Salata's Grace mentioned me."
Lark is not going to say anything.
Are you surprised by that?
He looks down and shakes his head. Looks back up.
No.
Who told you about this place?
She tells me she's a scout for places like this. She could tell there was something weird about me. She had an awful lot of trouble seeing me to start with. I put it down to the weirdness of the situation, you know. What did Delata's Grace say about me?
It said you were being set up.
He like closes his eyes and just mouths the word fuck.
Did a woman really tell you to come here?
He nods.
Fuck. I've got a friend. He's based in Diablera. We escaped from this cult when we were younger. There were weird things that had been haunting and following us for a real long time. What did the plant say?
They're coming after you. And... name? Goddammit.
You seemed to be the trigger to... whatever they were. They did something. But they were waiting for you. That's about all we know.
And then they were gonna go after Diablera. Diableria.
After my friend.
Do you think this whole situation is because they were trying to ambush you?
Yeah.
Then let's get everything out of here as soon as we can, so no more people have to get hurt. And you can go into details when we're done. Because whatever killed those people out there is probably still in here.
Right, but I'm not leaving until we find that book, though. Help me open this.
And he, like, puts the gun on his back. He rushes over and he, like, tries to open the door that's, like, directly ahead of where you came in, where you heard the kind of chairs and everything being moved. And, yeah, like, he kind of, like, smashes the button and it kind of, like, big flashy lights, lots of noise. And the door kind of, like, very loudly and slowly begins to open.
Gun trained on the doorway.
You train your gun on the doorway, and Asta also like gets his gun ready, so he takes it off of the off of safety very quickly. You hear that Saluna has kind of like rushed in, like both machetes ready to go, just kind of like, what the hell are you doing? And you see before you what looks like a very large containment room. You can see that there is kind of like tables directly ahead of you, and there looks like to be like light shades and like little lamps that are on them. You can see there are books, and you can see that there are papers and writing implements, and you can see that directly ahead of you there seems to be like this large cage area that has the door that has been opened to it, and there are stacks and stacks of shelves that go all the way back so far that you can't see, and there's a couple of blinking lights that are coming on. You can see that there are these boxes and weird items, but the thing that really quickly draws your attention is that almost directly ahead of you, there is this small, like, lectern. And on top of this lectern, there is this small, green, very, very old-looking book. And you can see that there is some words written on the front. Could I have Sully and Ralph roll a language own, please? In this situation, Lark, I'm sorry. Written language is not... okay, how did we do, chaps?
Oh, boy. I got a 90 on a 76, so that's a fail.
I did nicely. I rolled a 69.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Alas, still
so
a fail.
Nice.
You failed nice number, nicely. Alas. You can tell that there is, like, something written on the front in a very, very old, like, cursive handwriting, but you don't really get enough time to absorb it. And the reason you don't have time to absorb it is because you notice that kind of just behind it, that you can see that there are some of the shelves that have been pushed and slid around. It's as if someone has been walking in here in the dark, just accidentally pushing and knocking things over. And what you see before you, about 20 foot in height, is a creature that is kind of made from this grey root-looking thing. Its arms and legs are both the thicknesses of tree trunks. Its head is huge and has like this very reflective mirror-looking face. And as the lights come on and the door opens, this creature has its arms on top of two of these stacks and lifts itself up so it's standing more upright, and its entire head only turns around to look at everyone on the other side.
Hey guys, Cassie here, voice of Lark. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Sprouting. Things are really starting to go places, huh? If you enjoyed what you heard so far, first of all, stay so tuned for more, because, oh boy, the things that are about to come. And please, if you know someone who's into plants and horror, and maybe a combination like horror plants or plant horror, be sure to let them know to check out The Sprouting. We are still a very small and budding podcast, and word of mouth is really the best way to plant a seed in other people's ears and brains early. See what I did there? Yeah, we have puns too, sometimes, if Volander lets us. If we're not too busy running from plant monsters and stuff, you know. Anyway, we have a bunch of patron names that we made use of. So if you don't know what that means, we have a patron, and all members of our patron can add names to our Not a Pete fund. So we can name characters and places and stuff like that in our world building. So we made a lot of use of those in The Sprouting. In this episode, we made use of the name Seluna, which we got from Chaos Brain Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. And from other parts of world building that might not have been mentioned in this episode yet, we have Corentus, which was given to us by Keely_Lionheart. We have Lillian and May. Those names were given to us by Kirana X. We have the name Roland, which was given to us by Crank. And then we have a bunch of names from Library Cat. The names that we used were Athalia, Weston, Hollow's Crest, Basil Bass Abinwood, Aliza, Eldred, Restmere, and Valigdorn. And last but not least, we have the name Diableria, which was given to us by Lily. So, thank you to all our lovely patrons for donating those names into our Not a Pete fund, and keep them coming! Anyway, there might be an ad space here, or maybe not, but if there is, I'm giving it over to V and Aethor. Hear you on the next episode. Bye!
It's V here.
And Aethor.
And we're back to talk to you about more Quest Portal.
For $8 a month, you can subscribe to Quest Portal and get access to a bunch of, like, extra stuff. The first and most obvious one to kind of point out is the avatar creation. When you create a new character, you can click Create Avatar, and they have an AI system that helps you create a character. It's very modular. You can just kind of click a bunch of buttons, and you will get a character roughly in your idea, or you can add a bunch of descriptions and get super specific to get the stuff you want.
You can then attach that to your character sheets, and as a GM, you can attach that to as many character sheets as you want. The other big feature of Quest Portal Pro is the assistant. The assistant has like a lot of cool features. When you create a campaign, you can set the campaign to a specific system that you want, and the assistant will work with that system. So if you have a Blaze in the Dark game and you have a Call of Cthulhu game, if you're in your Blaze in the Dark and you ask it a question, it will pull information from the Blaze in the Dark SRD instead of pulling it from the Call of Cthulhu one. If you have a further subscription to the Chaosium Core, which includes all of the books that they have for helping you to create campaigns, if you have that, it links up with your assistant, and that will pull from also the additional books. Mostly, we end up using it for rule checks because, yeah, like Aether and I have played Call of Cthulhu before, but we don't know all the rules, and it doesn't necessarily apply for what we're doing right now. So it's really nice just to have that little like, oh, hey, can you check this rule for me? What does this mean? What are the rules on shotguns, for example? Like, it's just nice having it around at the time.
It's actually kind of wild how much it can kind of pull from and how clever it can get with some of the stuff, because you can ask it for like a list of items that it will list out the items it has in the information, and then you tell it to like generate extra stuff because you're like, ah, no. I need a more specific kind of item.
I also use it to help generate NPC stat blocks because I am quite notorious for not having character sheets, and this has saved me so much time that they actually have character sheets now, because it's a really good shortcut for me to be a better GM.
It's also like, it's a really good shorthand for somebody who, like, English is my second language, and as such, my vocabulary isn't always up to par. I love throwing in, like, just reword this for me. And it throws it back at me using, like, words that I don't usually use. And I'm like, I like being able to, like, kind of play around with it like that.
You can get Quest Portal Pro with the Avatar Maker and the Assistant and links to the library and all of the cool things that you can ask it to help you with. You can get that for $8 a month. You can find that on their website, or you can find a link to it down below. And you can also get a 7-day free trial for all of these paid features. You don't even need a code. You don't even need to click anything specific for us. You just go to the website, sign up, and you can sign up for the 7-day free trial. And then you can go on from there. I think other than that, we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.